be here this morning. Glad each and every one of you are here in the Lord's house. If you have a copy of God's Word, Psalm number 119, verse number 145. I'm striving to work through this Psalm. I knew that it would be a lengthy study as we looked at this wonderful 119th Psalm. We've come to the 145th verse, and I believe we see about three more messages following today. But it is good to be here, and we've come to this letter here, Kaf, in the Hebrew alphabet. And I want to preach this morning with the Lord's help on this thought in the form of a question: crying holy or crying wolf? Crying holy or crying wolf? Let's stand this morning in honor and reverence for the reading of God's most perfect, most precious, most pure Word. We see a repetitive theme in this stanza, and it is of the cry of the psalmist. Let's read here. 145th verse, Psalm 119. The Bible says, "I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep Thy statutes. I cried unto Thee, save me, and I shall keep Thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in Thy Word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in Thy Word. Hear my voice according unto Thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to Thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from Thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all Thy commandments are truth. Concerning Thy testimonies I have known of old, that Thou hast founded them forever." You may be seated this morning. It is good to be in the Lord's house. And as I was reading and studying and hearing of this cry and seeing the heart of the psalmist, I could not help but think that's the heart of many of us this morning. How that many times whenever we felt like we were in despair, and many times when we feel like that we're with heavy hearts and we don't have no other outlet to go to, we go unto the Lord. And we cry unto Him, we speak unto Him, we call upon Him. And just as Isaiah, as he approached the throne of grace in that sixth chapter, he cried, "Holy, holy, holy." But I'm also reminded as I was thinking and dwelling, especially on those first two verses in this stanza, and we see the plea of the psalmist, and we see the results, and we see the promises that's been made unto the Lord. I could not help but think that there are some that make promises unto God, but they never follow through. And that reminds me of that little story of that young little shepherd boy that town had placed a great responsibility upon to keep the sheep. And they said, "You know, there's wolves out here, and we need to keep all of our sheep taken care of." So they placed that little boy in charge, and he thought he might be fun just to cry wolf. And he started hollering, "There's a wolf, there's a wolf." And the whole town comes out, and they're wondering where the wolf is. And, of course, there's none to be found. And so they all go back, and they get rested and get settled in their beds. And the next thing you know, the boy's crying wolf again, wolf again. And we find that they run out there, and they look, and they see, and there's no wolf to be found. And he acknowledges and admits that he's just kidding, just fooling, just playing around. And we find that when the wolf really does appear and the young lad calls, nobody comes. And I'm afraid that's what a lot of people do with God. Amen? I'm just being earnest and being honest and being sincere with you this morning. I believe a lot of people call upon God for many reasons, many things that take place in their life. And they make commitments unto God, but they never truly follow through with what they commit unto the Lord. I begin to think about this, and as I was thinking, you know, there is the moment in history, and that's the first thing I want to think about, that moment in history that we called upon the Lord. Look what the Bible says in verse 145. He says, "I cried with my whole heart." That cry that the psalmist is speaking of is a calling unto. He's crying out from the depths of his heart, from the depths of his soul unto a holy God, and he's crying, he's longing that God would help him. Hey, there's been a moment in your life. There's been a moment in our life. There's been a moment in the history of this church when different folks from time to time have cried out unto the Lord as a plea for help. Hey, there's a moment in history, I hope and pray, in your life in which you realize you're a sinner, realize that your sin had separated you from a holy God, and that the results of that sin was death. And that death was not going to be temporal, but it was going to be eternal. And there was going to be an eternal separation in a place of torment and a place of eternal fire unless you got your sin debt taken care of. And I hope and pray that there was a moment in the history of your life that you called upon God and pleaded with Him and asked Him to forgive you of your sin, acknowledging that Jesus is the only way, that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that it's through His shed blood, through the giving of His life, through the stripes in which He bore upon Calvary, through His death, through His burial, through His resurrection, that you can have life. I hope there's a moment in history in which you have made that plea. I'll tell you what, there's a time in all of our lives that needs to be essential. But you know, for some it's real and for some it's false. For some it's genuine and for some it don't matter. It don't amount to much because there's no results in their life that they've ever truly called upon the Lord Jesus. Hey, the Bible here says that He cried with His whole heart. I believe there's a lot of people that call upon God with a half heart. I believe there's a lot of people that call upon God with a quarter heart. I believe there's a lot of people that call upon God to get their wife off their back. There's a lot of people that call upon God because that's what mama and daddy expect. Hey, there's a lot of people that call upon God because that's the end thing. That's what all their friends are doing. But my friend, they do not call upon God with the entirety of their heart. But I want to tell you today that God wants to hear from you. He don't want to hear half-heartedly from us. He wants to hear from us with our whole heart. And He wants us to be genuine in our cry. Hey, there needs to be a moment in history in which you cry wholly unto God. John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, said this. He said, "In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart." And my friend, there's a lot of truth in that. Hey, there's a lot of times we call upon, as a youngin, and my children probably do this. I know I did it as a child. But you know, you try to be real, real sweet to mama because you want to do something on Friday night. You're real, real good to daddy because you want something in return. And we call upon them. Boy, we butter them up, and we sweet talk them, and we soothe them over, and we try to do that because we want something in return. And I believe that's what a lot of people do with God. Amen? I don't believe it ought to be like that. I don't believe we ought to be coming unto God with false pretenses. I believe we need to call unto God with a sincere, genuine heart. Not because we want to get something, but because we've already received the greatest thing that anybody could receive, which is the gift of salvation. Amen. The free pardoning from an eternal separation in a devil's hell. Hey, we've been saved and delivered. My friend, we ought to be thankful for the work in which He's done. Hey, the moment in history in our life. Hey, the Bible says there, "I cried with my whole heart." He said, "Hear me, O Lord." God, I want you to pay attention to me. God, I want you to understand where I'm coming from. God, I want you to speak to me. God, I want you to respond unto me. God, I want you to hear my plea. Answer me, dear God. And we call upon Him. And then the Bible says there, "I will keep Thy statutes." That right there, what really spoke to my heart when somebody says, "God, I'm going to guard everything that You have told me to do." You know, there's a lot of times we sit in church pews and God speaks clearly to our hearts and He tells us things that we ought to do, things that we need to not do, things that we need to remove from our life, things that we need to add to our life, things that we need to be attentive unto. And we say, "God, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make a commitment to do that." But my friend, we never no more truly commit to do those things. How do you know that, preacher? Because the end result is in vain. The end result is void. My friend, we need to realize we're not playing games. Amen. We need to realize we need to serve God with a whole heart. And I'll tell you what, that spoke unto me in my study. It speaks unto me this morning that when we make a commitment unto God, we don't need to be crying wolf. We don't need to be just going through motions. Don't just need to be doing something to make it look good on the outside. We need to be genuine. Need to be sincere. Hey, we need to truly cry unto God with an utterance from the depths of our soul, from the innermost part of our being, knowing that God is beckoning us to be a soldier for Him. He wants us to be about His business. The psalmist says, I will keep thy statutes. I'll watch them. I'll guard them with fidelity. I'll preserve those things that's been prescribed unto me. I'll do those things that's due to thy holy name because of what you've done for me, God. But my friend, the end result is that people just don't care. A lot of times they don't care. As soon as they get what they want, as soon as they feel like that God answered that little prayer, my friend, their mind is not attentive unto the house of God. Their mind's not attentive unto the business of God. Their mind's more attentive upon themselves and their own selfish desires and the whims of which that they desire to do. My friend, we need to realize we need not be like that, but we need to be crying holy this morning and being serious and sincere with our attitude toward God. Hey, there's the moment in history. There's also the matter at hand. Look what the Bible says there in verse 146. He says, I cried unto thee. He's pleading once again. Hey, that cry represents earnest prayer. Hey, amen. James said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And my friend, that's exactly how we need to approach God. Just like Elijah did as he called upon God. Beckoned him to send down fire upon Mount Carmel. We see that was the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. We see whenever he prayed and he asked God, and he said, don't send no rain upon this land. And God didn't send no rain for 3.5 years. That was the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. My friend, we need to call upon God. There needs to be a prayer life about us. There needs to be an earnestness about us calling unto Him. And about what? About the matter at hand. Hey, you've got something going on in your life right now that you need God's help with. Yeah, I've got things going on in my life right now that I need God's help with. Hey, there's the matter at hand. Hey, the Bible says there, I cried unto thee, save me. Now, there's a prayer of salvation that needs to be prayed at that moment in history in our life when we call upon Jesus to be Savior. But you know what? There's many other times that I've called upon God and said, God, save me. God, deliver me. God, come to my aid. God, rescue me. And that word save right there, that means to deliver. It means to give the victory to. Hey, we need victory in our life. Amen. And we need not to walk around defeated and in distress, but we need to realize that, hey, we've got the victory in Jesus if we've been saved by His marvelous grace. But my friend, there's things that come up in our life that we need delivered from. Hey, well, I'm still in this old flesh. God saved my soul, but He hadn't saved my flesh yet. And I still do battle with it every day. And I'd say, God, save me. God, help me. God, deliver me. Hey, there's longings and wants. Hey, there's the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. There's covetousness that is rampaging upon our homes. Hey, there's things that are going on in our children. There's things that are going on in our parents, maybe. There's things going on around us in our communities. My friend, we need to pray unto God to say, save us. Our country needs delivered. Amen. Our state needs delivered. Our county needs delivered. My friend, we need the deliverance of an almighty God. And that's the plea that needs to be made here. He says, I cried unto thee, save me. Save means to deliver, to give victory to. Also means to save from moral troubles. My friend, we've got a great loss in our country and in our communities of what morals are all about. Not many folks have good morals anymore. Not many folks have good manners anymore. Not many folks have respect unto others the way that they used to. My friend, we need to call upon God to save us from the moral destruction that is around us. And the Bible says there, I cried unto thee, save me. And there is that promise once again, I shall keep thy testimonies. God, if you'll save me, I'll keep thy divine word. I'll keep the witness of the Scripture. I'll adhere to everything Matthew, Mark, and Luke had to say. I'll listen to John and Paul, and I'll acknowledge all the Old Testament prophets. God, I'll keep Your Word if You'll save me and if You'll deliver me. But you know, there's a lot of people who have made that commitment, but they've never followed through. Are they crying holy, or are they crying wolf? Am I crying holy, Or am I crying wolf? I'll tell you what, there's a lot of times I cry wolf. I'm just being honest with you this morning. Because I'll say, God, I'll do this, or God, I'll do that. And the end result is in vain. Because I did not follow through. My friend, we need to be attentive unto where we're at, where we stand with God this morning. And I believe the psalmist was earnest. And I believe the psalmist was sincere here. But I begin to read that, and I begin to study that, and I begin to look at the motives of our heart, and I begin to look at the results thereof. And a lot of times there's a great amount of people that want to serve God. And I believe it's earnest. I believe it's sincere. But my friend, it's not necessarily that they just don't follow through. So we have to examine our heart and say, are we truly serving God? There's the moment in history. There's the matter at hand. There's the mindset of hope. My friend, we need to get it in our mind that we're going to serve God. Amen? Hey, my friend, there needs to be a transformation of our mind. There needs to be a working in our mind. There needs to be a mindset that only God can help us have. There needs to be a transformation that takes part within us. Just as it says there in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Hey, my friend, there needs to be a working of God take place in our life to deliver us from the wiles of the devil, from the wants of the flesh. My friend, we need to have a longing to serve God. And to be what He wants us to be. Hey, there's the mindset of hope. Look what He says there in verse 147. He says, I prevented the dawning of the morning. I prevented. That word prevented means to meet. It means to confront. My friend, the only way that there's going to be a change in our character, the only way there's going to be a change in our cry, the only way there's going to be a change in our church is if we begin to have the mindset that, hey, we're going to meet those things that are besetting us. Hey, we're going to confront those things that are evident in our life that need to be attended to. Hey, for somebody, you've got some problems that need to be attended to. The only way you can attend to them is to confront them. You can't keep running from it. Amen. Hey, we can run all day, but it's still there. Hey, there's a lot of people, they try to drink themselves silly, thinking the problem's going to go away. But when they come to their senses, the problem's still there. Hey, there's a lot of people think, well, if I can just spend more money, I'll be happy. But my friend, if you're not happy with the Lord, there will be no contentment within your soul. A lot of people say, well, if I can just have more pleasures, if I can just have more men, if I can just have more women, then therefore I'll be content. My friend, it won't happen. Unless you confront the problem at the core. And that word prevented means to meet, to confront, to go, or to be beforehand. It means to anticipate what's coming. That dawning of the morning speaks of twilight. Now, I begin to think about that, twilight. I get up every morning somewhere around 5:15. And even in the depths of summer, it's before the sun rises. And we find ourselves a lot of times looking out the window and trying to see, well, is it light yet or is it not? But you know, there's just that certain time, early in the morning or late in the evening, where that you can just begin to see just a glimpse of light. You can begin to see some shadows of some things that are outside of our dwellings on the outside. You can just barely see what's taking place. But there's not really a clear picture of what's going on. And I believe that's where a lot of people fall in their life. They're in a time of twilight. They really can't make out what's going on in their life. They really can't see clearly what's about to take place. They really don't understand it. I want to tell you, we need to go God beforehand. We need to go to God ahead of time. We need to anticipate that there's going to be moments of twilight in our life. And we need to call upon God early in the morning. We need to call upon God late in the evening. We need to call upon God all day long and say, God, help me to confront the battles in my life. Hey, there's the mindset of hope. He said, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. My friend, the psalmist says there, in the twilight hours, I'm crying. In the breaking of dawn, I'm crying. I'm praying. I've got a Bible laid open. My mind's meditating upon the Word and pondering and studying. He says, I'm keeping Thy statutes. I'm keeping Thy testimonies. I'm crying upon God. My friend, you know what? It's good every now and again to have some study time. It's good every now and again to have some prayer time. But my friend, it's also good to have them both at the same time. Because you can lay an open Bible in front of you and you begin to pray and cry out unto a holy God, and that Bible will help you keep your focus. That Bible will help to remind you of whom you're praying to. And my friend, we call upon God and ask for His will to be done in our life.
hoping, believing, and trusting that His will is best for our life. My friend, there's the mindset of hope. He says there, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in Thy Word. My friend, we've got to believe that God is who He says He is. And we've got to know that His will take place. To hope means to wait for, to hope for His Word. All of the things that we find within the precious Bible we have in our lap or in your hand this morning. My friend, it's true. Amen? And we've got to believe in it. He says in verse 148, He says, Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in Thy Word. Those night watches speak of different time periods during the night. There's the evening, there's the midnight, there's the cock crow, three distinct times in the Jewish day in which that there were periods of night. And my friend, the Bible says there, Mine eyes prevent the night watches. I'm anticipating. I know they're coming. My friend, there's going to come a time in your life when it's going to be dark. There's going to come a time in your day in which that there's not going to be any light shining physically. But my friend, by faith, we know that God's there. By faith, we know that He is near. By faith, we can call upon Him and trust in Him. Why? Because our mind is fixed and knowing that God's going to pull through. God's on our side. My friend, we need to cry holy unto Him. We need to call upon His precious sweet name. The Bible says there in verse 149, or verse 148, He says, Mine eyes meditate the night watches, that I might meditate in Thy Word. There's that pondering again. There's that study therein. My friend, we need to study the Word of God. Amen? Warren Wiersbe said this, that there needs to be balance. Hey, all Bible and no prayer means light without heat. Hey, we can have all the Bible we want to have. We can have all the illumination we need, my friend, with the Bible. But when we're not praying unto God, there's no heat. Now we got all the light, no heat. And then He said this. He said there, but all prayer and no Bible can result in zeal without knowledge. My friend, there's a lot of folks that pray and pray and pray and have all kinds of zeal, but they have no knowledge of what God really is about. Have no mental capabilities. Hey, I believe we ought to study. I believe we ought to meditate. I believe we ought to ponder upon the Word of God. My friend, but there needs to be a balance of prayer so that we can be full of zest and full of zeal, but also have something to talk about, have something to share, have something to tell somebody about whom God is and what that He can do for their condition of their life. My friend, there's hope involved. There's the mindset of hope. There's balance. We find that the Bible says, Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. My friend, calling upon God and saying, God, hear me. And I'll tell you what, He knows our voice. Amen. My youngins can call upon Beth. Your youngins might call upon Beth. And if she's been around them enough, she would know their voice. But I'll tell you what, she knows their voice. They can just whimper in the middle of the night and she jumps out of bed. My friend, that's exactly the way our Heavenly Father knows each and every one of us. If we call upon Him, He'll hear us. The psalmist said, Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. Listen unto me, give heed unto me, consent unto me according to thy goodness, thy kindness, and thy faithfulness. I'll tell you what, God is good. Amen. He is there. He's waiting to hear our plea. That's what the problem is a lot of times, is that we're not calling upon Him. We're not calling upon God. My friend, we need to call upon Him. We don't just need to call upon Him and ask Him to bless our breakfast and our dinner and our supper. We don't just need to call upon Him and say, God bless this ball team. God bless this activity we're about to take part in. God bless our day and give us safety. My friend, it's good to call upon Him for all them things. My friend, every now and again, it's good to just call upon Him. Just say thank you. Just call upon Him just to say praise God. Just call upon Him and say, thank you for the good church service. Thank you for blessing our family and our home. God, thank you. My friend, we need to call upon Him. My friend, there's the mindset of hope. He says, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. My friend, the mindset of hope and truly having balance in our life and truly being faithful, truly being born again, blood washed believers, is that we know that God is going to act and He's going to do what's right and according to His judgment. He says, quicken me according to thy judgment. Quicken me according to thy judgment. That judgment speaks of His justice and His decision. My friend, God's always going to do what's right. We might not always think that is right, but God knows what's right. And my friend, the mindset of somebody that has hope in God is going to realize that in God's sovereignty, He's always, on the right thing. He's always going to do the right thing. Always going to make the right decision. But He says, quicken me according to Thy judgment. Preserve me alive. Let me live. But my friend, also means cause me to grow. There's a lot of people just satisfied with where they're at in life. My friend, if we ever get satisfied with where we're at in life, that's when we're going to start to die. That's when we're going to start to wither. That's when we're going to start to wilt. That's when we're not going to grow more roots. My friend, we need to be people that are wanting to grow, seeking God's guidance, seeking God's wisdom, with the mindset of hope, believing and trusting that we're going to call upon God and He's going to show up. There's a lot of people think they can call upon God and He ain't going to do a thing. I'll tell you what, my God will do according to His judgment and according to His decision. And my friend, if I'm in tune with Him, and if I'm in key with Him, and if I am walking with Him and talking with Him, and I'm doing what that I know is right according to His will, He'll answer according to what I want. Amen. But I'll tell you what, if we're wanting selfishly and it's not exactly what lines up with His Word and His character, my friend, the answer more than likely will be no. But we just need to call upon God and say, God, help me, Lord, to have the mindset I need to have, the mindset of hope. There's not only the moment in history and the matter at hand, the mindset of hope that has to do with our crying unto Him, as whether we cry holy or cry wolf, but there's also the misery with hardship. Now, I'll tell you what, the devil is keen, amen? The devil is very wise and very crafty, and he knows just exactly what it takes to ruffle our feathers. He knows just exactly what it takes to get us out of kilter. He knows just exactly what it takes to just upset us and to get us all torn up. The Bible says right there in verse 150, He says, they draw nigh that follow after mischief. Just as soon as you get the mindset of hope, my friend, there's going to come somebody along that's going to try to get you out of God's will. Going to come somebody along, something. Hey, it might not necessarily be someone or something. It could just be our old flesh, our old man, our old woner. The things of the world that we long after. Mischief. The Bible says right there, they draw nigh that follow after mischief. They approach us, they draw near, those that are about mischief. Now that mischief means an evil device or an evil plan. It speaks of wickedness. Wickedness that's found a lot of times in idolatry. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, you start worshiping a ball more than you worship God, you're going to get things out of line. You start worshiping a fishing pole more than you worship God, you're going to get things out of line. You start worshiping fashion and start worshiping all the beautification things of this world. My friend, you're going to get things out of line. That's idolatry. My friend, that's mischief. Idolatry speaks not only, or mischief speaks not only of idolatry, but my friend, it can speak of adultery. I'll tell you what, there's going to be some man come along, ladies, that's going to try to woo you away from your husband. There's going to come some woman, man, that's going to try to woo you away from your wife. As soon as you start serving God and living for Him, my friend, hey, the devil is keen. He knows exactly what to do. Hey, there's adultery. It's rampant, amen. I had a friend tell me, he said, boy, I think Macon County needs to get them a new Walmart or something because there's too much adultery going on around here. People need to have something to do. I'll tell you what, it might be that way in Swain County. Swain County might need a new Walmart. We got to be careful, amen? Hey, there's the misery with hardship. And it just don't affect the individual, but it affects others around. And my friend sin, it's just like that leaven Brother Andy is talking about. Hey, it just grows and it grows and it grows. And it affects many. But it says they draw nigh that follow after mischief. Idolatry, adultery, harlotry. My friend, we need to safeguard our children, amen? We need to safeguard our young ladies and let them know, hey, you need to love God, need to serve God, need to be living your life for Him. And our young men as well. So we see here that there's those that follow after mischief. It says they are far from Thy law. My friend, I tell you what, somebody that's full of mischief is far away from God. But my friend, we need to have the mindset of hope, amen? Hey, evil's coming. We need to be on guard. And know that the devil is keen. So we need to be crying holy. Somebody here might be crying wolf, I don't know. But there's the moment in history, the matter at hand, the mindset of hope, the misery with hardship, but there's the ministry through humility. My friend, God wants to minister unto those that will humble themselves at His precious feet. The Bible says right here in verse 151, Thou art near, O Lord. My friend, do you believe that this morning? Do you believe God's here? Do you believe God's near? I'll tell you what, sometimes we get so caught up in our life, get so caught up in the daily routine, get so involved and wrapped up in our children, get so involved and wrapped up in our work, get so involved and wrapped up in the things that we've got committed ourselves unto, that we forget God's anywhere around. Let me tell you something, He's near. And as long as you'll remember that God is near and that He is nigh and that all we need to do is cry holy unto Him and call upon His name, He'll help us. Amen. He'll be there for us. Hey, there's ministry from a heavenly Father unto His children when they humble themselves unto Him. Hey, the Bible says, Thou art near, O Lord, and all Thy commandments are truth. My friend, we need to acknowledge that this Bible is real. Brother Andy just showed us a lot that it allowed it to come through in Sunday school this morning. It's real. It's vibrant. It's vital for a Christian to have a daily time in the Word of God and recognizing the truth of the Scripture in order for them to have victory in this life. Hey, there's ministry through humility. The Bible says, concerning Thy testimonies, He says, I have known of old that Thou hast founded them forever. Hey, the divine witness of the Word of God allows itself to be made so real. And He says there, I have known of old that Thou hast founded them forever. That word known speaks of experience. My friend, you can speak from experience saying, I know that God's real when He saves your soul. Amen. Hey, wherever God comes in and He floods our soul with victory and He floods our soul with glory and He brings happiness unto our little humble abode, my friend, we know that He's real. We can speak of Him because we've experienced His presence. It also speaks of those that have experienced not only our knowledge by experience, but because they have become acquainted and because God has made them wise to the fact that He is real. I'm glad God is real. And the Bible says there, known of them of old. And that speaks of those of ancient. Now, I tell you what, I think it's wonderful the way that the young people take part in that Seder and that ceremony. And I think it ought to be the same way in our church. It ought to be the same way in our family, in our home. There's some things we need to pass down to our youngins. Because why? Because they've been passed down to us. And my friend, he says, I've known because of the things of old, because of those things of ancestry, that God will minister unto those that humble themselves. My friend, God will help you this morning. He says, I have known of old that Thou hast founded them forever. My friend, the Word of God is founded and true. It's sturdy. It's trustworthy. It's firm. It's reliable. And it'll stand the test of time, even the day of fire upon this old earth. It'll stand. And it's perpetually, forever and forever, settled in heaven. And for those that know Jesus, my friend, there's comfort to know that He'll always be there. But we've got to humble ourselves before Him. There'll be somebody here this morning that's been crying wolf way too long. There'll be somebody here this morning that's done just like it says there in verse 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, and I'll keep Thy statutes. I cried unto Thee, save me, and I shall keep Thy testimonies. You've made commitments unto God, but you've not followed through. God delivered, God helped, God healed, God done what He committed Himself to do, but you've not followed through. Have you been crying wolf with God? I'll tell you what, God wants us to cry holy this morning. He wants us to call upon Him and honor Him and worship Him. There's ministry through humility. Hey, it takes a lot of strength to come and humble yourself at the foot of Jesus. My friend, I'll tell you what, He'll honor you if you'll do that this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed today.